I'm now joined by Sylvia Jablonski, CEO and Chief Investment Officer of Defiance ETFs, who currently offers six ETFs, nearly $1 billion in assets. That includes their most recent launch back in September, the Daily Short Digitizing the Economy ETF, ticker symbol IBIT, I-B-I-T, which is what I would call an inverse blockchain ETF, which I'm sure we'll get into. Sylvia is now joining me from New York. Sylvia, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so we are going to talk a little bit about IBIT, but before we do that, I was looking at your ETF lineup, and I'll tell you, it's unique. So you have a 5G ETF, a quantum computing ETF, a hydrogen ETF, a cruise hotels and airlines ETF, and then a digital revolution ETF, which has a fantastic ticker symbol, by the way, NFTs. But to start, for people unfamiliar with Defiance, how are you attempting to position the firm in the ETF market? I mean, is the idea here to really go after the thematic ETF segment?
Yeah, great question. So it's certainly partially that. So one of the things that we do is we look at existing technologies, existing classic ETF products, some of the stock select sector indices, for example, that exist, and we try to think about what those stocks and what those themes will look like in the future. So there is this element of thematics to it, but there's also an element of trying to create products that are, you know, like the products that we have today or have had for the last couple of decades, you know, transparent, sort of pure in their intentions in terms of what we're trying to give exposure to, and, you know, products that are essentially going to disrupt the way we sort of live, work, and play. And if you think about just the ETFs that we mentioned, it's sort of easier to describe it when you go through them, right? So if you look at kind of the classic communications ETF products out there, they might include companies like Meta, they might include you know, various media companies or kind of like old school telecommunication equipment companies and things like that. But we think that the future of communication is 5G, right? So we'll look at the names that tend to support that theme. If tech is sort of tech as we know it today, well, quantum computing is the tech of the future. If internal combustion engines are the way that we operate vehicles, airplanes, ships, things like that today, well, hydrogen might be an alternative energy source, and so on. So that's how we try to think about it. There's $60 trillion of wealth going from baby boomers to, you know, sort of Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, and beyond. And I don't think that they're going to want the same products that, you know, our grandparents have been allocated to for the last four decades. So we really try to think about thematic products as a way to capture disruptive trends, but also to provide purity so that investors know what they're actually getting.
I'm really curious, when we talk about thematics and the role in a portfolio, I'd love to know how you view these. And I want to color that just a little bit with one of my favorite ways to think about thematics, which actually comes courtesy of Morningstar's Ben Johnson. So let me lay this out. He says that thematic ETFs are basically trifecta bets, where you have to get three bets correct in order to have success. So he says you have to pick a winning theme, you have to pick an ETF that actually captures that theme, and then you have to get the timing right. And his point is that all of that can be difficult, right, to get all of those correct. But if you do, then, of course, the payoff can certainly be worth it. Any thoughts on that line of thinking? And just how do you think investors should approach thematic ETFs overall?
You know, I think that there's you know, definitely some sense to his comments there. But what I would argue is that it is sort of impossible to pick the right theme at the right time because it's impossible to time the market. So he's absolutely right about that. So what I would say is that, you know, advisors have to invest in themes and disruptive ETFs in areas that they believe will grow. So one area, for example, that I think a lot of advisors are interested in investing in is essentially innovation and the technology that will lead innovation forward. So we know and we have tangible evidence that artificial intelligence is something that is going to power a lot of different like sort of sectors and projects that we have in our economy. We know that electric vehicles require certain amounts of technology. We know that quantum computing, processing big data, connecting rural and urban America, you know, having precise technology for defense. Things like this exist, and they're growing and they're innovating. So the investment in the technologies that support those themes, I think, are good places to kind of park your money, but know that you'll be, you know, essentially parked, right, until these companies start to generate revenue and until we get past this market, which is just wholly unfriendly to tech and growth at the moment. So I do think that, you know, there are areas of disruptive technologies that actually make sense. But to Ben's point, I think that there are a lot of products out there that are sort of cute, right? And they may or may not work out. So going back to the idea of like how we think about creating products, I think if you think about classic staple sector exposures, you know, whether it is like staples, retail, consumer discretion, whatever it might be, defense, energy, which companies will dictate the future in terms of being the top equities in those sectors? And then try to find thematic ETFs that focus on those names that right now seem a little bit, you know, far out there, but will probably become, you know, the staple large caps of the future. So that's how I think about it. But also in terms of just talking to our clients, you know, some of them will say, I have 5% of my portfolio that I just allocate to almost kind of like Ben lays it out to a couple of good ideas and hopefully some of them play out. And then some of them are more strategic about it. And they say things like, you know, my client has a grandson who really believes in quantum computing. So, you know, along with his QQQ exposure, I throw in a quantum ETF to complement that. Other clients will actually use it as their energy allocation, you know, so for things like carbon, for things like hydrogen, for things like solar, you know, there are a lot of companies out there that are really going in that direction. So it could be, you know, a classic sector allocation within a model, or it could be, you know, a 5% sort of view that you're willing to take a gamble on. So it is certainly everything in between.
Okay, so speaking of creating new products, as I mentioned, in September, you rolled out the Defiance Daily Short Digitizing the Economy ETF ticker IBIT, which is different than the other ETFs you were offering, and this is the first inverse blockchain ETF. What made you decide to launch this one? Which I will say it's been pretty good timing given everything going on in the crypto space.
Yeah, this is actually the best kept secret, I think, on the market right now. The performance of this ETF has been stellar since launch, and I think, you know, not a whole lot of people actually know that it exists. So the way that we went about this ETF is we saw that you know, people are essentially looking to expose to hedge their exposure or to take a short view on anything from Bitcoin, you know, different cryptocurrencies, NFTs, or the actual equities that are related to those digital currencies. So, you know, ProShares came out with this awesome ETF and they short Bitcoin. So then that's one way to get about it. But we thought, well, you know, so a lot of people hold Bitcoin, a lot of large institutions hold Bitcoin, and then great, they have that solution. But what about the investor that holds Coinbase and Robinhood and MicroStrategy and Block and Galaxy and, you know, some of these companies that are actually listed equities but have a good chunk of their revenue and their user base linked to things like Bitcoin, Ethereum, blockchain technologies and things like that. Well, along with Bitcoin, you know, falling from that 70% level, FTX, you know, scandal, if that's what we're sort of calling it now, Terra Luna, all of these, you know, bankruptcies and dry ups and now this huge amount of just sort of like risk off sentiment that is you know, kind of riddling that whole ecosystem and everything related to it. Well, IBIT now gives you access to short the equities that are, you know, sort of most linked to these themes. So, so you have, you know, you have the inverse Bitcoin ETF to short the cryptocurrency itself. But if you're looking to sort of hedge or short the stocks like Robinhood, Coinbase, you know, et cetera, that are, you know, essentially getting crushed, whether it's because of high growth in tech getting crushed or because of their relationship to Bitcoin and blockchain technology, IBIT exists. So it's either a hedge or it's a short view. And I think, you know, we're starting to see trades trickle in, I think, when it pops up on the radar and people can kind of see the performance of it since inception. But that's really why it's there.
And Sylvia, just briefly explain what's going on underneath the hood here. How exactly are you getting the inverse exposure?
Yeah, sure. So it's very easy. It's on a daily basis. We're inverse. The funds that essentially make up the Amplify's ETF block. So it's being inverse or short companies like Coinbase, Robinhood, Galaxy, MicroStrategy. We have a derivative agreement in place with BNP Paribas, and on a daily basis, we rebalance to be -1 multiplied by the performance of the underlying index that we track, which is short Amplify blocks ETF.
Okay, and I mentioned earlier that you do offer the Defiance Digital Revolution ETF, again, ticker NFTs, NFTZ, which I would say this is essentially long exposure to the blockchain or crypto space. You can offer some additional color there, but I guess two questions. How would you compare that ETF to something like BLOK block? And then obviously you do now offer the ability for investors to get exposure in either direction to the blockchain or crypto space through iBid and NFTs. I'm just curious, do you have any strong opinions or views on this space, or do you just try to stay agnostic?
Yeah, I mean, so on a company level, we try to stay agnostic and we try to provide clients with the tools that, you know, that express sort of their view in the direction of the trade that they would like to take. So, you know, with crypto, blockchain and all of that, I think you have very polarizing views on the topic, right? You have everything from like a Mike Novogratz to a Warren Buffett or a Charlie Munger who are just, you know, think it's just sort of criminal and it's going to go poof, right? So those guys might like iBit, but a Novogratz might like an NFTZ. So we just like to provide the tools to give you exposure. So the thought behind NFTZ was, There's going to be this huge amount of growth in blockchain technology, smart contracts, digital assets, and the components that go into that will be non-fungible tokens. You know, they will be semiconductor stocks. They will be companies that represent blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies. So the goal here was to create a long product that gives you exposure to sort of all of those different facets of the marketplace. So I think it's a little bit more concentrated perhaps than block on blockchain technology, on, companies that are involved with NFTs, companies that have a strong tie to cryptocurrency, companies that sort of use NFTs, like a DraftKings, for example, is in there, GameStop is in there. And then, you know, kind of the crypto mining company. So this is really more about the build out of blockchain technology. And in terms of my own personal view, so, you know, I am actually a big believer in blockchain technology, and I think that it's going to play a huge role in our future. I think it'll do things like, you know, you sort of see BlackRock getting into it and JP Morgan, and they think, you know, if you think about, you know, how much easier it would be to just to settle a trade, right, via a smart contract. You sort of put in all the components and the trade settles sort of on its own. You can kind of eliminate, you know, several different groups within an industry, the checks and balances that are required to kind of manage that trade settlement. It could do things like better equip companies, shipping companies to more efficiently deliver goods. So, you know, during COVID, you had these issues where ships were just lined up at ports for months and months on end. If you had a smart contract that sets everything from, you know, the agreement on the goods and the services, the payment for the goods and services, but also, you know, the flow, delivery time, arrival schedule, things like that. If this is all run on technology or on blockchain technology through the use of smart contracts, you know, there is a way that it really could help our economy evolve. And if you think about some of the issues that we have, you know, not being able to find workers to fill the two jobs to every one person type of thing, you know, technology has to play a role in the digitalization of our society across various sectors and things like that. So, you know, my view is that there is a place for all of this. It is absolutely being creamed and hammered, and I'll take that one. But I think that if you're a long-term believer in this stuff, you know, buying some of these companies or cryptocurrencies, you know, sort of dollar cost averaging in a little bit with a very long time frame in mind, is something that might pay off in the future. But if you ask me, you know, sort of this week, next month, next couple of months, you know, potentially through the end of 2023, I think iBit has a better shot of performing than NFTZ does, just because they're getting crushed.
No, I think all of that is very well said. I mean, I think, you know, maybe it's 10 years off or 15 years off in the future, we'll see the tokenization of ETFs and other securities. I may have a very different looking podcast in 10 years. But Sylvia, so great to connect. Congratulations on the new launch with iBid, and best of luck to you on the entire lineup moving forward. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day. I appreciate it.
That was Sylvia Jablonski, CEO and Chief Investment Officer of Defiance ETFs.